Tonight's video is about a photographer who was hired to investigate some odd behaviors for grizzly bears up in the Northwest at Yellowstone National Park. And while he was doing his job, he encounters this. If you're new to the channel, subscribe, click on that bell, and smash that thumbs up and tell a friend. Now, let's get spooky. Yellowstone National Park is roughly 35 square miles of pure wilderness and atop a volcanic hotspot. Most of Yellowstone is located in the state of Wyoming, and the park spreads into different places such as Montana and also Idaho. Yellowstone features dramatic canyons, lush forests, alpine rivers, hot springs, and gushing geysers, including the most famous, Old Faithful. Yes, Yellowstone. It's also home to hundreds of different animal species, including wolves, bears, bison, elk, and antelope. But unfortunately for all of us, that is not all that resides in Yellowstone. You see, I am a professional wildlife photographer. I've been doing this for roughly 13 and a half years. I don't just take normal pictures of animals or different beautiful sceneries for people who want to steal my work from Photo Bucket or things of the like and make canvases for their walls to decorate their house. No, you see, I am paid to do the more extreme task at hand. I deal with the most wild of beasts. Bears, wolves, elk, if you believe it, they can be dangerous. Mountain lions, tigers, and even bears. I have traveled outside of the United States 3 different times during my 13-year career. But this experience at Yellowstone, by far, has been the most terrifying experience I have yet to endure. Let me explain. The organization that hired me, I will not disclose in this encounter, but I will discuss why they sent me to Yellowstone in the first place. This is going back to 2017, when this all occurred. I was hired to investigate and follow the tracks of a group of grizzly bears, which have been acting weird, according to them. Grizzly bears have become more bold, and people have been getting in contact with them or seeing them more often than usual. Usually, grizzlies tend to stick to themselves. This is where I come in. They want me to investigate why this is happening. Are they being pushed out of their natural habitat locations where they usually dwell at the national park? Or is something happening to them that is making them find a new location at the park? What is happening and why? They wanted me to go solo and investigate, but stay at a safe distance and observe and measure. Grizzly bear sightings are not common, but you do have a practical chance to see a bear. There are over 40,000 bear sightings from the years 1980 through 2011, according to online. There are a lot of instances, especially considering one that could be seen by several people, increasing its odds a bit for those numbers, of course. But recently, in the past few years, leading up to me getting hired for Yellowstone, those numbers have been going up double. Of course, this is something that the park rangers and anyone that's involved with the government side of things will never explain or admit to the public. This is what I'm telling you. This was a solo mission that was supposed to last 4 days. I had everything I needed in my pack to go solo camping and follow the trails and the spat and everything I could that leads me in the direction to where these grizzly bears are more than likely to be located at. There are several different locations that are most common for grizzly bears to be at, which includes Swan Lake Flat, Fishing Bridge, Hayden and Lamar Valleys, and the Eastern Entrance. For the first 2 days, I was over at the East Entrance, also over at the Hayden and Lamar Valleys. On the last couple of days, I started off at the Fishing Bridge area near the RV park, and worked my way over to the Swan Lake Flats. That is where this all occurred. It was my third and last night, and I had discovered that these grizzly bears had been migrating to different areas, and I was trying to figure out exactly why. I had seen some dead carcasses of not only antelope and other types of animals that presumably were bear attacks, but judging off of some of the photos that I had taken, a lot of these did not look like they came from bears. Then, I started coming across corpses of grizzly bears. Now, this is something that is not common, whether it's Yellowstone or any other national park. To take out a grizzly bear, and not from a human being with a rifle, that is something you would consider as uncommon. I do recall it taking quite a long time to reach Swan Lake area, as it's at the most northern part of Yellowstone. The beautiful thing and the wonderful way how this lake got its name is because of the swans. There's approximately around 70 birds that still reside at Yellowstone at this location. This lake itself is a little bit over 1.5 miles long, a loop, which has a very popular area for hiking and walking, but you can still enjoy the solitude during quieter times of the day. And my time was far too quiet. The swans were nowhere in sight when I had arrived, which was odd because of the time of year that I was there, they should have been there. At the time, it was a red flag, but I did not think anything of it, as I was not there to look at the birds. I was there to observe the bears. But looking back now, something had spooked the birds off. When I continued my trek, heading in the direction of a thick area of pine trees, the hour was around 7 p.m., and the sun was starting to set. At this time, I knew I needed to find a place to set up camp for the night, because up here, you are in the wild, and you have to make sure you have safety precautions narrowed down to a T. So I headed for the pine trees. It wasn't a huge forest, nonetheless, but it was enough to give me some shade and privacy. But it was enough for me to set up my hammock and all my supplies for the night. Once I had found a location which had a flat ground with a couple of good trees that had a proper space between for my hammock, I started to set everything up. Once I had set everything up, it was time to get something to eat. With all of my equipment in one bag, the other bag had all the other things that I was carrying for my overnight stays. I had some leftover food from the previous day, which was still in a packet of dry ice. Once I had cooked my dinner, I started a small little fire. When you're out here solo camping, you have to be very careful of your surroundings, and oftentimes, a good fire will keep predators away. But at the same time, I'm out here by myself. If anything was to catch on fire, it would be very hard for me to put out on my own if it got out of hand. So I had to make a small fire, but just large enough for my area, if that makes any kind of sense. While I was relaxing around the fire, I started hearing these weird echoing noises. Now these noises were a mixture of some type of howling, growling noise, and a yelping noise of some other animal. Now I assumed that was just the natural part of life. A wolf or something was attacking a deer or something. But the noises sounded so, how do I put this, odd. Not of the animal that was being attacked, but of the attacker. It wasn't a wolf. I didn't know what it was at the time. Now, I wanted to investigate, but I didn't want to interfere either because I didn't want to be its backup meal. Now, I did have some night vision goggles. I grabbed my revolver, which I always carried on me, by the way, and I trekked in the direction of where I was hearing these echoing sounds. After a few minutes is when I noticed the carcass. There was blood everywhere. It was indeed a jackalope. Now, the jackalope is perhaps probably the most rarest animal in Yellowstone. They are solitary, and they usually stay primarily in wooded areas, not out in the open or in the mountains. And in the wooded area is exactly where I was taking camp for that night. Jackalopes are extremely dangerous and should not be approached if sighted, but this one was just laying dead on the ground. Now, I have seen plenty of in-person evidence of bear attacks, as well as countless and countless bear attack photos. Whatever had killed this jackalope was not a bear. The slash marks didn't match. The way that it was ripped up in its internal organs all laid out in a pile next to the body. Its heart was missing. There were so many things wrong. And at this point, red flags were shooting off in my brain saying to get the hell out of there and get back to your campsite. And so, that is exactly what I did. But not before taking a few photos first. I wanted to examine these and have the company that hired me investigate this attack, as some of these markings on this jackalope indeed resemble the markings of the grizzly bear that I had found the previous day. These I could not explain. I'm not an expert in this kind of thing. I just take pictures. But I wanted to provide as much evidence and information as I possibly could, marking this location on my GPS as I did with the bear that I had found earlier. Once I walked back to my campsite, my guard was completely up. Not knowing what had attacked and killed this animal was driving me insane, and I had trouble sleeping that night. Sometime in the middle of that night, I started hearing that same guttural growl howling sound. This time, the echoes seemed much closer. Now, I'm in a hammock, which is probably not the safest way to sleep. Whether it's by tent, hammock, or some bushcraft makeshift sleeping area, you're really not safe no matter what you do. And being up in the trees, well, you're not really safe there either, because most common predators can also climb trees. Basically, if it wants you, it got you, you're screwed. Unless you have a good fire and you got yourself some protection. Which I had both. The snapping noises is what alerted me that this thing, whatever it was definitely nearby. At this point, I knew that I was in a world of hurt. Whatever this thing was big. Like, grizzly big, if not larger. Now, I'm in this hammock, looking like a nice, easy, giant hot dog if it wanted me. There was no way for me to escape out of this hammock without falling down out of being frightened to death, or simply just laying there and hoping that whatever this thing is doesn't notice me. I did not want to take either one of those chances. I grabbed my satellite phone and put in the coordinates of the SOS text message. Luckily, hopefully, the message got sent through. Now I just have to sit here with my revolver in hand and just hope and pray to God that this thing doesn't get close to my campsite or discovers me. Some moments had passed. More guttural noises, more snapping twigs echoing in the distance. Not knowing what direction it was coming from, I dared not move. After probably a minute or two, which felt like an hour, honestly, the noises ceased. I saw nothing, to the point where I felt more confident, unzipping my hammock and slowly slipping out of it. At full alert, I looked in all directions with my flashlight. There was nothing at my campsite. The fire was still going, and all I could hear was the regular nature sounds. Which was a good sign, because if a predator was around, I wouldn't hear anything, and it would be completely silent. I started to catch my breath and have a slower-paced heartbeat at this moment. I sat down by the fire, thinking, contemplating, what it was that was out there. Was it a bear or a mountain lion? Was it a wolf or some coyotes? Or was it one of those or some other creature that had killed that jackalope? I was unsure at the time, but I knew there was no way I was going to be getting any sleep that night. Looking at my satellite phone, I noticed that my text signal for help went through. So I knew it was only a matter of time before help arrived. I felt like giving myself the largest facepalm ever because now the threat was no longer here. And yet, they were going to send some helicopter out here to save me for no reason. What, because I saw some crazy mutilated jackalope and I started hearing grunting howling noises outside of my campsite? Yeah, that's going to look real good for my employers. But in reality, it was the best decision I had ever made that night. Because moments later, after I was laughing about it to myself, is when I saw something across the fire. It was in the brush quite a ways away behind some trees, but there was this large wolf-like creature staring back at me. And when I say wolf-like creature, I mean it looked like a wolf, but it was on its back legs. Wolves don't do that. I got one quick snapshot of this son of a bitch before I hightailed it out of there as fast as I could. This creature looked like some humanoid dog. I could hear this thing galloping behind me, knowing full well this thing could catch up to me if it really wanted to. Was it teasing me? Was it just playing with me? Or was it simply just trying to scare me away so it could go back to its jackalope and continue its meal? The thing never did reach me. Periodically, as I was running and freaking out, I would randomly turn behind me and shoot my revolver in the direction of that creature following me. I doubt any of my shots impacted this beast, but I will say it did enough to scare it off. Because sometime later, as I was running for dear life in whatever direction I happened to be running that night, I no longer heard it following me. And at that very moment is when I heard the beautiful sound of a helicopter in the sky. It was heading in my direction, and I could see its flashing lights. I could also see the beam of light where it was trying to find my SOS signal. This is the end of my story. Luckily, for the most part, nothing was damaged at my campsite. All photographs and evidence that I had acquired over the past 4 days of this trip had gone to my employer. But I do have this one photo that I will share with you.